Awesome. Well, good morning, everyone. It is so good to see you here. Pastor Andy is away in Waterlooville preaching the word today, and Pastor Stu is in Waterside today preaching. And so you've got me this morning, and I am super, thanks, guys. I'm super excited to be sharing with you all because I feel like God's put a word on my heart. And most of you are fully aware that we've been in a series at the moment on Christology, and we've specifically been talking about who Jesus is, okay? And I know for so many of us, it's been reawakening and reminding us that we serve an incredible God, that Jesus really is great. And this morning, I'm going to be talking about Jesus is prophet, priest and king. And I know it sounds a bit like, oh, what are we going to be talking about? But you know what? Over these last few weeks, I've been so grateful for everything we've been learning about and understanding, because it's just been reminding me that God, you're so good. And you know, sometimes in life that things can happen in our world and we can kind of just put it down to, oh yeah, that just happened because it happened. But let's be reminded that God is protecting us. He is looking after us. That coincidences and good things don't just happen. It is God blessing you and directing your life. Recently, something happened in our family that now I look back, I can laugh about it, but at the time it really shook me up a little bit. And basically, you know, they say the people you're around, they rub off on you, don't they? And I've been around a lot of people recently who like love cooking from scratch and love like, you know, making all these amazing things. So I was like, I'm going to start at the basics, okay? I'm not going to go like too hard and, you know, try and cook something elaborate or anything. But I've decided I'm going to make popcorn from scratch, okay? So, you know, you can just buy the corn and all you got to do is pop the corn and make popcorn. Now, my wise husband said to me, Paula, don't do this. It costs 99p to buy a bag of popcorn. But I was like, Sean, just stop. Just trust me. I'm the wife here, okay? I can do this. It's fine. Now, Sean obviously knows my track record with burning garlic bread every single week and all of that sort of thing, because I just forget, okay? But I was like, I can do this. I told the kids were excited about it. So anyway, you've got to put, make the oil really hot, okay? So I poured the oil into the pot and I was like, yes. And then my husband calls me, right? So I'm in the kitchen, you're meant to be focused. He's like, Paula, come here for a minute. So I was like, okay, I'll go. And so I put the lid of the pot onto the fire with just oil in the pan. And so I go to Sean and I completely forgot. And so I don't know how many minutes later, one of my daughters comes running in, Mom, the kitchen. And I was like, the popcorn! And so I literally go running into the kitchen and all I can see is this pot and there's like mist around it everywhere. Now, quick lesson, if you've got oil on the pot, do not lift the lid, okay? You're meant to put like a tea towel that's wet on it and then just turn it off. But I didn't do that because I didn't remember that at the time. So anyway, I lift the lid and just whoosh, fire just comes up. I fall back, I'm literally screaming, Sean, quick! Sean comes running into the kitchen. At this point, I probably should have just opened my eyes, but I thought I was blind. I was like, my eyes were closed, they were burning. Like, honestly, I thought this is it. I didn't know what to do. I'm screaming. And anyway, I've fallen back onto the side, and then I'm trying to open my eyes. I open my eyes, I can just see smoke, fire everywhere. And then my hero comes. Then I just see Sean. He grabs the pot and throws it outside into the garden. And he's like, Paula, what have you done? And I'm like, I was just trying to make popcorn. And thank God we had to air out the house. Sean's mom had to come and get the kids because we were scared that they would inhale too much smoke. It was very dramatic and we can laugh now. But the next day, I wanted to prove my family wrong, so I made popcorn again. And I have lived to tell the tale, guys, okay? I'm here, we're still standing. But all jokes aside, the reason why I shared it, God just kind of brought it to my memory. I remember when that it was on a Saturday and I went to work in the evening and I was telling the chef at the place where I work what just happened. And he was like, oh my goodness, that happened to me before. And he's like, and when I lifted the lid, he said the fire literally went all over his face. He was off work for 6 weeks. His hands were burnt and his face was burnt. And I was like, oh. I was like, God must have protected me then. And so I don't know if I'm going to get to heaven. I'm going to ask God to see that clip and I'm going to literally see an angel standing in the way, protecting my face. I don't know. But it just reminded me that, you know what, even in the little things, even in the things that we're not expecting, God protects us. God looks after us. And we always should give him glory for the things that he does. So as I said this morning, I'm going to be talking about Jesus being a prophet, a priest, and a king. So those words might be a little bit confusing to you, but hopefully I can unpack it well enough for you to understand this morning. So when you read the Old Testament, you will notice that the nation of Israel was led by three distinct kinds of people. So throughout the Old Testament, you will often hear about a prophet or a priest or a king. Now, all of these roles were completely separate from one another. So that is, a king was not a priest or a prophet. A priest did not function as a prophet or a king. And a prophet simply was just a prophet. They were never a priest or a king. But today, we're going to talk about how Jesus actually fulfills all of these roles and why it's important for our lives. So we're familiar maybe with Jesus as Savior, we're familiar with him as Lord, and today we're going to become familiar with him as our prophet, our priest, and our king. So firstly, what is a prophet? A prophet is simply God's representative to people, one who brings revelation from God. So the prophets of the Old Testament would have a very close relationship with the Lord. They would hear what he's saying and they would then bring that message to the people. And what would happen, they were also often called seers. So that was people who could see into the future. They would reveal God's thoughts to the people. Now, nowadays, in a world that seems quite far from God, people often think, oh, so you mean a psychic? No, God started it first, and God has always wanted to speak to his people and tell us of things to come. So now, Jesus was also known as a prophet to people. So in Matthew 21, verse 11, it says, the crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. In Luke chapter 7, it says, they were all filled with awe and praised God. A great prophet has appeared among us, they said. God has come to help his people. So Jesus functioned as the perfect prophet. He gave revelation from God by bringing messages from God and explaining to people what God was telling them through those messages. He also predicted the future. So much like the Old Testament prophets. So for example, Jesus predicted his pending death and resurrection. He predicted Judas's betrayal. He predicted that Peter would deny him. He predicted the coming of the Holy Spirit, the persecution of his followers, the destruction of the temple. And even today, something that hasn't come yet, he has predicted that he will return. So many of these have come to pass. And Jesus, just like some of the Old Testament prophets as well, he performed many miracles and healings. So in Hebrews chapter 1, and I'm just going to read this verse to you. It says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom, also he made the universe. And the wonderful thing about this verse here is explaining that God spoke through the prophets, but now he also speaks through Jesus. And the amazing thing about that is that Jesus has not stopped now. He continues to speak to us. He continues to bring direction to us. He is known as the chief shepherd who leads the flock of God, and we can hear and follow his voice. So Jesus wants to speak to us, okay? He wants to be our shepherd, and that means we are his sheep. So we listen to his voice and we listen to his leading. So you might be someone in this room who you're like, oh, this sounds really weird, because maybe that's me. Maybe you're someone in your life who has dreams, and you have dreams and you don't know what they mean, and then you see those things play out in real life. Or sometimes you have visions, or you have a little inkling on your heart that someone's not okay, and maybe you message them and you're like, oh my days, how did I know that? That is God using you to have a prophetic gift that can help other people. So don't ever think that your random thoughts or your random dreams are meaningless. Maybe God is trying to speak to you. Anyone ever had a dream before that then suddenly happened or came to pass? Well, quite a lot of people. That is God speaking to you. You know, in the Old Testament, you read about, for example, Joseph. He spoke to Joseph in a dream. Joseph in Genesis with the brothers. Then he spoke to Mary and Joseph, the partner, husband, future husband, in a dream as well to warn him. So God can speak to us in dreams. And the wonderful thing is that Jesus continues to speak over all of our lives. He warned Peter, how good is God? That's what he wants to do for us. As a prophet in our life, God wants to warn us of things to come. Not in a scary way of, oh, should I go here? Should I not go here? But just a clear voice of God speaking to you. He did it with Peter when he warned Peter, Peter, you are going to deny me. But then he also spoke hope to Peter that every step of the way that God's word would be spoken over us. That's what we're believing for. And there's a prophet in the Old Testament, and it's in the book of Jeremiah. His name was Jeremiah. And he was a prophet who God would speak to often. So God would speak to him, and he would have to go and share this word with the people, with the Israelites. And often these prophets struggled because the people would never listen to them. And Jesus experienced that many times. But what I love about Jeremiah, there's a verse in Jeremiah, and it's in chapter 20, verse 9. And Jeremiah is, he couldn't help but speak the word of God. And it says, I will not mention his word or speak any more in his name. His word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. So Jeremiah is here with someone who's full of God's word. And he kind of is like, oh, I'm tired of speaking it out. But he couldn't help it. It was like a fire that was in his bones. And do you know what? It's the same for your life. God cannot help but speak his word over you. He cannot stay silent about you. When you're thinking, what way should I go? What should I do? Know that the propheticness in God is speaking over you, directing you and guiding you. And there's a verse in Isaiah 62 that says, for Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet till her righteousness shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. You know, God wants you to shine. And I read this verse this week and it really just made me think, how good is God that no matter what is going on in your life, no matter when you fall, when you get back up again, no matter what is going on in your life, he will not remain silent over you. He will keep on speaking his goodness over you. He will keep on speaking his blessing over you, his forgiveness over you. He does not remain silent about you. And there's so many times, I think, in our lives where we feel, oh, I haven't heard God in ages. I don't feel God at the moment. But you need to know this morning, and hopefully I can remind you, that God is not silent over your life. He loves you, he cares for you, and he will continue to speak speak his goodness over you. How good is that? That God will not remain silent over us. So if you ever feel helpless, you feel doubtful, you feel far from God, know that just pick up your Bible. Pick up your Bible and see what God is saying about you. So our prophet Jesus, the one who foretells the future and speaks over us. So now we're going to look at what does it mean for Jesus to be our priest. So Pastor Andy really unpacked the grace of God so well last week. So if you haven't listened to that message, I'd really encourage you to listen to it. But the priest in the Bible times was the representative, was the people's representative to God. So in the Old Testament, what would happen would be the priests would come before God in the temple on behalf of the people. They would offer animal sacrifices, and that was to substitute for the sins that the people had made. So on the Day of Atonement, so that was one day every year, the priest would come and he would enter the most holy place of the temple, and he would sprinkle the blood of a goat upon the mercy seat. So, and then what would happen? That goat would then be sent away. And that's where we get that saying, the scapegoat. The scapegoat was in place for our mistakes. The scapegoat was the sacrifice. And so now when Jesus came to this earth and came as our priest, he became the ultimate sacrifice for our sin. That there's none of us could ever say to God, God, the reason why I haven't come back to you is because I have to pay the price. I have to pay the price. No, Jesus has paid the price for your sin. Because of what Jesus did, anyone and everyone can have a relationship with God. Anyone and everyone could come into the presence of God. And now, what you've got to realize that maybe if you've grown up in church, you might think, oh yeah, that's just standard. Of course we can all worship and be in the presence of God. But for the people in the Bible, in the Old Testament, this was wow. This was insane. That what? For all of these years and years and years, the only person that could enter into the holiness of God, the only person that could be close to the Father was the priest. He was the only one that could feel the tangible presence of God. But Jesus came and did something so special for us that anyone, regardless of our sin, regardless of what we have done or what we may do wrong or how good we think we are, that anyone could come into his presence. You didn't have to, you no longer have to wait for a Sunday morning. You no have to wait, to, no longer have to wait to, I've got to speak to a priest, I've got to speak to a pastor. No. You can access the living God. You can speak to the Creator, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who created heaven and earth. You can have a relationship with him. And the reason why that is so wonderful is because when you know God, when you get to have a relationship with God, you get full access to everything that he is. You get full access to everything that he offers. How good is that? So if you're someone who's like, I'm wrestling, I need peace. You can go before God all by yourself in your room, wherever you are, in your car, wherever it is, you can have access to him. How good is that? Now in Hebrews chapter 9 verse 24. It says, for Christ did not enter into a holy place made with human hands, which was only a copy of the true one in heaven. He entered into heaven itself to appear now before God on our behalf. So now, because of what Christ did for us, we understand that no accusation made before God against us has any grounds because we are forgiven. As high priest, Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father in the most holy place and he speaks for us. If anyone tries to accuse us, Jesus is like, but I died for that. Oh, but look at that person. Look what they just did yesterday. Who do they think they are? He's like, but I died for that. And he'll continually speak for you, reminding anyone who tries to accuse you, reminding any enemy. And do you know what? Reminding your mind. Sometimes our mind is the worst part, right? Our mind is the one that says, oh, if only anybody knew. Oh, man, they would hate you. Oh, if only anybody knew what you did back in blah, 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 or what you did whenever. But Jesus speaks for us. And maybe today you're here and you need to let your mind know that Jesus has paid the price for you. And because of that, you are made holy and righteous in his sight. By claiming to be God, Jesus was claiming to be perfect, right? He was claiming to be righteous. And all the people back in the Old Testament, this is one of the reasons why, once again, it was such a wow moment when they understood what Jesus had done for them. For so long, their experience of so-called perfect people was often judgment. From the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they experienced constant judgment. Why are you not doing this? Why have you not washed your hands? Why have you not gone and sacrificed this X amount of times? But Jesus steps into this world and he shows the perfect heart of our Father. He begins to befriend every single sinner. He begins to love them. Like the woman who was caught in adultery, Jesus stood as her high priest and he stood in the gap. Who can condemn her? No one. The man who was crippled, he was told by Jesus, your sins have been forgiven. You see, these people didn't have to wait for heaven to let go of their mistakes, but they could experience forgiveness on this earth. How wonderful is that? In this life, not until we get to heaven, in this life now, we can boldly come into the presence of God. And I won't read that verse, but it's in Hebrews chapter 10, and it's from verse 19 to 22. It says that we can boldly come before the throne of God. And it's so amazing. It makes that song, Amazing Grace, fit so perfectly, right? Amazing grace, that there was nothing that we could do in our own strength. And if there was, we would then just be singing Amazing Me, how sweet the sound. And there's nothing amazing about any one of us. There's nothing that we could do to pay the price for our sin. And lastly, I want to touch on Jesus being our King of Kings. So what is a king? A king is one who rules over a kingdom, one who has rulership and authority within a specific domain. So we are part of another kingdom and we live under the authority of Jesus. So Jesus is now seated at the right hand of the Father and he's promised that one day he will return to establish his kingdom of righteousness on this earth. And when we look at Jesus being our King of Kings, we begin to see him not just as King, but as Lord. So in the Old Testament, they talk about the greatest king was King David. When King David was the king in Israel, everyone felt safe, everyone felt protected. And so when we speak, and yet King David made many mistakes and was just a mere man. So when we speak of Jesus as our King of Kings, that gives us access to him as our protector. The Bible talks about that when there was a king, the king would go out to battle and he would fight for the people. And that's what King Jesus has done for us. He fought the battles that we could not fight and he continues to do so. I remember when I was little, and I think most of us have probably been there. When you're young, you cannot wait to grow up, right? I just remember just thinking, oh, I can't wait. I remember that my mom would say something like she's just nipping out to the shop, and I'd be like, I can't wait to do that. Can't wait to be able to just go to the shop when I want. And she'd be eating something, and you're thinking, I can't wait to be able to buy that and be able to do whatever I want. And then you become an adult, and you're like, who will cook for me? right? You're like, someone cook for me. Like, often I look at my kids and, like, I've got better now. I completely get it now. But I remember, especially when my third child came, I've got three children, when our third child came, and I just watched them, and I'd be like, who's the parent? Who's meant to be looking after these kids? And I'm like, oh, it's me. I am the parent in this situation. And do you know what? When you're young, you can't wait to grow up and live your life and be who you want to be and do what you want to do. And then when you become an adult, you want someone to do it all for you, someone who's going to sort everything out. But do you know what? The wonderful thing about God being our King of Kings is that he does exactly that for us. He is our protector. He's the one that keeps us safe and looks after us. He is the one that we can go to sort things out. So when Jesus was called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, it means that every other thing comes under him. He has all authority. He has a name above every other name. You know, back in the Old Testament, the fact that King David was their king was like, yes, we've got King David. Now that we've got King Jesus as our king, he has the name above every other name. That means every other name. No matter what name it is, no matter what has been labeled on you or what diagnosis that you may have been given, his name is above every other name. And that name is precious to us. It is precious to us because it's the name that changes things. It can change situations. It changes our heart. It changes our lives. And if you've put your faith in Jesus, make sure that you treat him like your king. Make sure that you're willing to bow your knee before him. And that means just coming humbly before him and accepting that he gets to lead your life. And you know what? It's a wonderful thing. God leading our life isn't literally like a parent that's telling you what to do every second of the way, but he's empowering you and loving you and gently guiding and leading you to which way you should go. You belong to the kingdom of God, and that means that God gets to lead us, and that's a wonderful thing. You have a king that will always fight your battles. You have a king that will always look after you. And finally, he's also the sustainer of all things. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things consist. He upholds all things by the miraculous strength of his word. So who are we that God would be so mindful of us, that he would be a prophet over us and speak his goodness over us, that he would be our high priest and pay the price for what we could not pay, and that also that he would be our king? And he did all of this to show us that if you let him, he will lead you. If you let him, he will cover you. And if you let him, he will be your perfect king. You know, in life, in the Old Testament, once again, the Jews were God's people, and they were desperately waiting for a Messiah. They had been for so long waiting for the coming of a king that would fight their battles. And back then when Jesus came, they thought that it would be a political king. They thought it would be someone who would defeat the Romans for them and change their situation. But the wonderful thing about God is he went far beyond than just doing something in the physical. He did something in the spiritual for all of our lives. He stood in the gap and became our savior. And that is far greater than any physical thing. And you know, God loves every single one of us, and he wants all of us to be in a relationship with him. There's a story that many people know that's very well known about the prodigal son. And we should always try not to be so familiar with the Bible that we kind of glance over it. But there's a part in the prodigal son where it talks about that the prodigal son came to his senses. He came to his senses and suddenly realized, what am I doing? What am I doing here living in a pig's pen when I could be with my father? And do you know what? I believe that so many of us have made that decision in our own hearts and in our own lives. What are we doing? What are we doing living a life far away from a God, living our life in our own way, by ourselves, when there's a God in heaven who loves us? There's a God in heaven who cares for every single one of us. And today I just want to create a brief opportunity for anyone who's here today who hasn't given their life to Jesus before, who hasn't fully surrendered to our King. And I want to encourage you, he's so good. He really is so good. If anything that you get from this message, let it be that your God in heaven absolutely loves you. He loves you and he wants to know you. He wants to be in relationship with you. He wants to be able to speak to you, to heal the broken places of your life that no one can heal. He wants to be able to satisfy you in the ways that no one and no thing can ever satisfy you. That is our God. That is our God that loves you. It is not just a religious thing for religious people who feel like that they're good enough. No. This message of Jesus Christ is for the ones who know that they could not do it in their own strength and they needed God to come into their life and change their world. And so I'm just going to ask everyone to close your eyes and bow your heads. And I'm just going to pray and I'm just going to ask if you can all repeat after me. So, dear Father, I accept that I cannot live up to your perfect standard. And I repent of my sin. Thank you for sending Jesus to pay the price for my sin. I believe that you forgive me and make all things new. I surrender to you and want to take your path for my life. Father, will you just fill anyone who has just prayed that prayer from their heart? And just while every eye is still closed, if that's you this morning and you've kind of heard this message and there's something that's stirring in your heart, and you want to give your life to Jesus, on the count of three, I'm just going to simply ask you to lift your hand for me. That lifting your hand is a confession and you saying that, yep, it's me. I need Jesus and I want Jesus in my life. So 1, 2, 3. Thank you, thank you. Is there anyone else this morning who's saying, I want to give my life to Jesus? I want to surrender, thank you. Another hand, anyone else this morning? Knowing in your heart that you want to surrender and get to know God. It's a journey, but what a journey it is. It's an incredible one. Anyone else this morning? I'll just wait another moment. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for these people who've put their hands up. We thank you, Father God, that right now, today, Lord, as they've given their life to you, they're going to get to experience you as their heavenly Father. And today they come into right relationship with you. Father, I just pray as well for everyone who's here today. God, I thank you that you get to be our prophet, our priest, and our King. And Father, I just pray if there's any areas of our life where we've just kind of felt as if we've not been accessing you or being reminded of who you are when you became our prophet, our priest, and our King. I pray that today, God, will you shift something in our hearts that will choose you again as our King, that will come under your authority and begin to trust you with our lives again. Father, we place our lives into your hands. We place our circumstances into your hands. And we just thank you, God, for who you are and for what you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God, church. Praise God. If you gave your life to Jesus, there's a team who's at the back there with a banner that says best decision ever. Please go and speak to them. And then the rest of everybody else, have an amazing week. We pray that you just have an incredible week and you'll just see God's goodness in your life. Amen. God bless you all.